Man, I am just so thrilled about that building. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 19. More than likely, this will turn into a two-part series to, this week and next week, I'm thinking, probably. But we're going to follow the Holy Ghost. But let's pray as we're flipping our pages and believe God for utterance. Father, we're so thankful, so grateful for your love and your mercy, your kindness, your grace. You are awesome. We are blessed to know you, Father, and we're so thankful for what you have ahead for us, not only in this service, but in our life, Father. And we're so thankful for all you're going to do for us today and going forward. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, whatever needs to be said this morning, say it. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. Speak to hearts this morning. Hit bullseyes in people's hearts. Say what they need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Luke 19, before I get there, if you weren't here on Wednesday, or if you didn't listen by live stream, you wouldn't know this, but I made a statement. And I'm going to say it again, and then this series is going to prove that out to you. But I made the statement on Wednesday, and I said, the most important thing in your life is hearing the Word of God. It's putting yourself in a position to hear the Word of God. Nothing else even compares. Now, a lot of people have filled other things in their life that have taken the place of hearing the Word of God. And when I said that on Wednesday, it was by the Holy Ghost, but I knew that I would need to explain that and teach that. Because a lot of people don't have that as a priority in their life. A lot of people don't have that as an understanding or an importance. It's kind of like this. To get to that statement, I'm going to have to prove some things here today and show you some things for us to prove that out. But you're going to see in the Word that that's the truth. That the most, you'll partly see that today and then you'll see it the rest next week. But being in a position to hear the Word of God, making that a priority, putting yourself in that position is of the utmost importance in your life.
Amen.
Absolutely. And so many people are living far beneath what God has provided for them simply because their priorities are out of whack. God just kind of fits in there when there's time, and if it works out with my schedule, you have it backwards. You're missing the abundant life. You're missing all that God has for you. Amen? And so when I said that, I knew that maybe some people thought, wow, really the most important thing? Well, I'm going to show you that's what the Bible tells you. And that how vital that is. And that if you don't make it a priority, if you don't put yourself in a position to be constantly watered by the Word of God, you are not going to experience all that God has for you. And we need to get that revelation. I love people too much to not tell them about this revelation. Hallelujah. And so, but before I get to that, it's kind of like this. To just tell you what the Word says, it would be kind of like there'd be a missing puzzle piece there. We got Caleb and Abby a real popcorn machine for Christmas. We love to watch movies with them, and we love movie theater popcorn, and it's just nice to have it in your house. I mean, sorry, forgive me for my carnality. I mean, I just love movie theater popcorn. And so I was putting that thing together. And if you know anything about me, I am no good at mechanical things. I am no good let's just put it this way. Usually the toys that Caleb got for Christmas or Abby, Courtney was putting them together. I know that. I always tell my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, I said, I'm so sorry your wife married a doofus. Because my father-in-law is always the one coming over and fixing everything and doing things for us. And so I always apologize. But I did attempt to put the popcorn machine together. And as I was putting the popcorn machine together, there was one step that I was trying to get to. And I was kind of had the directions there. You know how that goes, where you think it just looked easy. It was just two big box thingies, a cart and some wheels. I thought, this is simple. And I was trying to do this one part, and I couldn't get it. It wasn't fitting. It just wasn't working. Well, the problem was I was missing a key step that when I looked at the direction, I said, oh, well, that's dumb. If I just do that simple step, then it just opened up to me, and I could see, oh, well, then it just fell into place. Well, it's the same thing. For me to get to the point of telling you that the Word of God, receiving the Word of God and putting yourself, that should be in your life the number one priority for you and your family. Making it a point that everything else centers around me hearing from heaven. There's nothing that even compares to it. Praise God. And you might think in your head, well, that's a big statement. He doesn't know my life. Listen, everything else in your life depends on that. Everything else being successful and flourishing and thriving the way that you want it to, the way that God wants it to, depends on what you do with that revelation. But to get to that step, we have to first show you how God does things. Because if I just start telling you that, it won't fit as well as it would fit if we went through the steps. Praise God. So Luke chapter 19, in verse 41, you have to understand how God works and how God does things. Because if you don't understand how God works and how God does things, it won't be a priority to you. It won't be something that's important to you. And for those of us that feel, as we sit there and think, well, I feel like I already have this down, well, praise God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. The moment you get to the place where you say, oh, I've heard that before, is the moment you are in a place of prayer. You are in a place of, hey, you are in trouble. My goodness. Because the day we think we know it all, I've had people come to me and tell me for years, Pastor Mike, I've heard that message. And when you said it this time, something new came to me. The word is alive and it'll help us. Amen. So don't miss this today. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41 says, and when he, Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city, talking about the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wept over it. He wept over the city. Saw the city crying over the city of Jerusalem. Why? Well, let's find out why Jesus was crying. I'd want to know. It says in verse 42, if you had known even now, you this at least in this day, which things belong unto your belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. So he's crying because he's saying, Israel, you don't understand what's available to you. You don't understand what I have for you. And they didn't know it. And that broke Jesus' heart. They were his people. He said, for the day shall come upon thee when thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because you... Now notice this. Because you, Jerusalem, knewest not the time of your visitation. Jesus was weeping over a city because they didn't realize or recognize who they had in their midst and what he carried with him in their midst. What am I saying? A visitation to humanity, what you need to see, I'm going to prove it by the word. Again, don't listen to anything I say. Just because I got a nice divot in my tie today, and I think I got a good one today. I was realized like, man, I could fit a couple M&Ms in there. That's kind of how I always see I did pretty good on my tie. And just because that, so what? Just because we have, my name has Reverend in front of it, just because I'm stand behind a pulpit, because I have another church in Olean, big deal. Big deal. Hallelujah. What does the word say, right? Well, I'm going to show you what the word says. A visitation from God. How God visits his people on planet Earth is through a God-filled man or woman. Amen. That's how he does it. That's how he does it. Jesus was a God-filled man in their midst, and they just saw him as Joe Schmo. They didn't see him as the Savior of the world. They didn't see him as the Son of God. They saw, well, we know his mother, we know his brothers, his daddy's here with us, we know he's just a carpenter. They didn't see that he was the King of Kings. They didn't know it. And Jesus wept. He said, you didn't know that this was the time of your visitation. What was their visitation? Him. Him. And so to get to the point where I tell you, and proved to you by the Bible, that everything else in life ought to center around this today, you're going to have to understand how God works. And the way God works is by sending people, a God-filled man or woman, to relay what he wants for their life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, further solidifying. I'll just say it this way. The church as a whole does not have this revelation. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking this church, and I'm talking the body of Christ as a whole, does not have this revelation. Oh, how things would be different every Sunday morning. Oh, how things would be different on a Wednesday night if we had the revelation. That's not to beat people up or to be mad at them. That's just to tell you the truth. You don't have the revelation of what how God moves on the earth. Because I would think that if God Almighty were to say, I'm going to be at South Dayton Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. I am going to be in South Dayton Wednesday night at 6:30. Oh, how that would change some things. But see, you don't understand. God is here doing his plan Sunday mornings and Wednesday night. Amen. And before you start thinking that I'm calling myself God, oh, you're mistaken. I am not God, and thank God I'm not God. You ought to thank God that I'm not God, because I thank God you're not him. Amen, right? We're glad he's who he is. Praise God. But see, people don't have that revelation. They don't have that revelation, and God becomes optional. God becomes optional. Well, if I can fit them in, well, we'll see how that works. But see, that's why I'm trying to help you, that you understand what you're missing out when you don't have that as a priority. There's so much more that God has for you. There's so much more that God wants for you and your children and your money and your body and your businesses and your favor in your life and your whole life. But it all revolves around what you do with this revelation. Now look at, let's see, Pastor, what are you talking about? You have lost your mind. Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9 says, in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But Jesus said, or the Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. One translation said he pitied them. Actually, I'll pull that up in a second. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Heather, would you go to verse 36 in the Amplified, please? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's see here. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 in the Amplified, it says, when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. You know, to be pitied is not a good thing. Do y'all remember Mr. T? What did he say? I pity you, fool. That's what Jesus said. I don't know if he threw in fool, but he said, I pity you, right? And I don't. He said, why? Because they were bewildered. They were harassed. They were distressed and dejected and helpless. Comparing them to what? Sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is saying that this will be the characteristics of people's lives that don't have a shepherd. I didn't say that. I know if you're sitting in the far back, that might look like it says Michael. That's my name, but it doesn't. It says Matthew. I didn't write that, praise God. Matthew did, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He wrote what Jesus said. Jesus said, oh man, I pity them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Well, I don't know if you know this. This is part of understanding how God works. I don't know if you notice that, but God refers to his children as what? Sheep. It's not a negative thing. God refers to his people as sheep. Well, what does any good, healthy flock of sheep have? They have a shepherd. I was sent a picture from a lady from the Olean Church, and it showed a picture of a sheep that had wandered outside of the flock and outside of the shepherd's care, and it was gone for 6 years, and the shepherd found it after 6 years. You should have seen how crazy this thing looked. I mean, it looked like it was straight out of a sci-fi movie, a sheep that turns into something. It had ever been sheared. It wasn't healthy like it should be. And the shepherd took about 20 minutes, cut that thing down, got it fed, and got it back to where it needed to be. But think about a natural flock of sheep that doesn't have a shepherd. What happens to them? They struggle. They don't have anybody there to mend their wounds, to lead them into the right places to feed, when problems arise, to help them, to care for them, to protect them from predators, to keep them from the wrong things, right? Well, Jesus said that when he saw these people, they were scattered and faint, harassed, dejected, helpless, and distressed because they were sheep without a shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to learn that submission is not a dirty word. Some of the dirtiest words you can say in church, I know we have kids here, so you might want to cover their ears with these cuss words in church, are holiness and submission.
Yeah. Amen.
People don't like those in church anymore. We better start learning to submit to God's plan.
Yeah.
God's plan is having a shepherd. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. And he said here that people are like sheep without a shepherd when they don't have a pastor. That word shepherd in the Greek is the same word. It's actually the word poimos, I believe is how you say it. It's the word shepherd in the Greek. Jesus is saying his people need a shepherd. Now, let me just dispel any ideas of religious thoughts in here right now. Notice Jesus Christ himself was in the midst of them. He was there with them. And notice he said, I'm not enough. I pity them because he didn't say he didn't say he was enough to not pity them is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
He still pitied them, yet he was in their midst, the Son of God. He said, I pity you because you don't have a shepherd.
Yeah.
Jesus, people tell me all the time, oh, I don't need to go to church. God knows I'm a Christian. Yeah, and God also knows you're disobedient and not going to be blessed either.
That's right.
Just telling the truth here.
Yeah.
I'm just telling the truth out of love. The Bible can't say, well, I got me and my Bible and me and my Jesus at home on a Sunday morning. You aren't qualified to shepherd yourself. Just like any sheep in a pen is not qualified to shepherd that flock or to shepherd themselves. They need somebody else. Isn't it amazing that with this thing in life, people like to buck the system, but everything else in life, it's understood that you need somebody to take you to the place you need to go. Think about people that play sports. Most people don't wake up one morning after they get to a certain age and are just awesome at hitting a baseball or awesome at throwing a football.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever hobby or whatever you do, some people might have more natural ability that way, but they always need somebody to teach them different moves, different steps, different dancing's the same way, right? Whatever. Think about people that play instruments. Most people don't wake up and are Mozarts. Most people need somebody to show them what to do, teach them the scales, show them hand placement, show them how to tune an instrument. They need somebody to take them to the next step. And we are okay with that.
Yeah.
In our jobs, we have supervisors or people that know how to do the job that help us get to the point. And we're like, yeah, that's normal. But when it comes to spiritual things, for some reason, the body of Christ are a bunch of rogues.
Yeah.
Oh, I can do it on my own, me and my Jesus. Well, not according to Jesus, you can't. Amen. I'm very passionate about this because I've seen this over and over and over again hurt people's lives by not obeying and submitting to this, and I've seen it change people's lives from obedience. And so I'm so passionate about it. Praise God. And let me just say it this way. He said sheep without a shepherd. He didn't say sheep without a Mike Anderson. Right? There's more shepherds on the earth than just me. I'm not talking about just me. You go where God places you. Praise God. And so everything else in life, we see this is normal. This is normal. I remember there's a gentleman at the Jamestown Church who actually now has been responsible. He's helping build the Mayville Church, the new Mayville Church. He helped build the new Erie Church that's out there. He's done a ton of work for us. He's done different things. And his name's Jeff. And what I saw him about 5 or 6 years ago, I think it would be now, at a Dr. Dufresne meeting in Jamestown. And I walked in and I saw him at church. And my mouth about hit the floor. That was someone I'd never expected to ever be in church, you know. And you ever had people like that in your life? And I'm like, you know, here he was. I just knew him. I grew up with him. And he's a guy I actually saw fall out of a tree stand and break his arm. It was the disgustingest thing I've ever seen. His arm was in positions that no arm should be in. And, oh, I got so queasy. But anyhow, he got off in life. And got really hardcore into some wrong things in his body, wrong living, struggles with a child that he had, different things. It was awful. And he was in a place where he's just shaking all the time. I mean, just bad. And I was just glad to see him in church. And I went out. I actually helped get him. Actually, I was the one that led him to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We were walking in the woods one day. I wanted to get with him. I said, I had to find out, why are you in church? Like, I was glad, but how did this happen? He said, well, his life had hit rock bottom, and he was out walking one night. And I'd like to have him come here and testify sometime, just because it'll show you the power of a shepherd. what a shepherd can do. A shepherd's anointed to take you places you can't get by yourself. It's just the truth. I know it. I'm a living example of a shepherd taking me places that I should not be able to go to in life. But I am there because a shepherd led me into it. A shepherd will get you stuff in your life that you are never going to have without him. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'll show you. I'll show you in the Word. Praise God. And so I should have him come testify sometime because he is just a tremendous blessing. But it might not be as meaningful because you didn't know him before like I did. But anyways, he said he got disgusted, so he was just out walking. He'd go for walks at night, just complain. And he saw a bunch of newspapers off on the side of the road, and that just made him even more mad. How come somebody can't pick these up, you know? Why is it just, and you just, you know, when you're mad, you're just mad at everything. True, right? You just get mad and grumpy at everything. And so he said about the third or fourth night, he's walking, he said, I'm tired of seeing those papers there. I think it's a miracle they didn't blow away. So he went to go throw them away. He picked them up, and there were Bible verses on there. Well, the Bible says that the Word is alive and it's powerful. When he started reading those Bible verses, the Word was speaking to him. Doesn't matter that it was on a crumpled up newspaper out on a country road. It's still the Word of God. It's still the Word of God. And so he's reading it, and it's speaking to him. And he senses something. My God, this is life. This is what I've needed, right? And so he starts studying the Word of God. He starts diligently studying the Word of God because he wanted his life to get better. And every time he read it, it would speak to him. And he said this. He said, after 2 years of doing that, studying, he said, I came to one conclusion throughout the whole Bible. One common theme is that I can't get to where I need to go by myself. I need a pastor. I thought, my God, if people would realize that. He got faithful in church. Every bit of addictions and things that he had in his life, boom, off of his life, praise God. His situation with his with this custody thing, with his child, worked out. He can see his daughter whenever he wants to, praise God. He's now serving in the church. He's now met a wonderful young lady, praise God. He's on the way to get married. Everything's changed. He's got his own business now that is flourishing and prospering, and they can't even keep up with all the work. All changed in a short period of time when he got a shepherd. Amen. Well, Jesus said, if you don't have one, it's going to be a trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this is what you need to see, is that why would that matter, having a shepherd in your life? Because we can see maybe in certain people's lives maybe. How many of you know that everybody that stands behind a pulpit that goes by pastor is not a pastor? I don't know if you know that or not. You don't choose yourself to be a pastor. Now, I will have to say one day I used to stand in front of my oven. My mom had two hanging towels when I was a young kid before school. And I always moved those towels aside just to look at myself before I went to school. But I'd always be looking in there and I'd be seeing my swing in the mirror. And I'd watch my swing. And she said, your guidance counselor keeps calling me. He says, every time you meet with him to go about over your future, all you tell him is, don't worry about it, sir. I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player. That's what I'd say. I was convinced. And he said, you got to have a backup plan. You know how rare that is? Yeah, not for me, Mom. You see, not for me. And I would say that to her. That's just what I would do. And so she kept going on and on and on about this. I said, fine. I'll be a pastor. They work one day a week, and the day they work, they pass the buckets around and collect money for them. That's what I'll do. That's what I thought. Oh, how wrong I was. Oh, but you don't choose yourself to be a pastor. You don't. You're not. It's not something that, oh, you know, I think I'd like to be a plumber. I think I'd like to, you know, maybe go down the road to be a fireman or something. That's not what you do as a pastor. God picks and chooses you. True pastors. It's true, absolutely. And not only that, but there are qualifications and guidelines and confines that will show you what a true pastor is. You want to see him real quick? Let's look. John 21, because this will start to help you to understand why would Jesus say we're scattered and faint without a shepherd? What's the big deal of having a pastor? John 21, in verse 15. I guess you can see that you'll have what you say happen, because here I am pastoring. Of course, I'm kidding, tongue in cheek, you know, that was God's calling. I didn't know it back then that it was, but John 21 and verse 15. Now, you have to understand something, that Peter stood in many different offices, but one of the offices he stood in, especially in the beginning, was the office of a shepherd. And it says that when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me more than these? He's saying, do you love me more than these people? Talking about the other disciples. He said to him, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, okay. He said, feed my lambs. You see that? Feed my lambs. That's what he told him. He said to him again in verse 16, a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, okay, feed my sheep. Second time he told him. Verse 17, he said it on the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? See, Jesus didn't question whether or not Peter loved him, but he's trying to drill a point home to him. That if you love me, Peter, there's something you can do for me that will prove that you love me. Said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it on the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him a third time, feed my sheep. So, I guess it's important for God's people to be fed. Well, what's the feeding he's talking about? He's talking about Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But here's my point in saying this, is that a true shepherd is a feeder of God's sheep. A true shepherd doesn't just stand up here and give 3 points in a poem, doesn't stand up here, I can't believe in the body of Christ. How many shepherds think it's their job to stand up here and be political? How many shepherds stand up here and try to impact just social change and just go? It's almost like it's social program time. No, a true pastor is a feeder of the Word of God. That's what a true shepherd does. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how I was when it came to picking something to do in school. Just let me play my baseball. That's all I want to do. I'm kicking and screaming. Glory to God. See, that's another reason we need this bigger building. This is a hard building for people that bring children and stuff. And so I feel for people. And it's coming. Stay with us. Praise God. It's coming. We'll have in the new building, there's a mother's room there for moms that are nursing and for places to take brand new babies. If they're crying, there'll be a sound feed into there. We have places to go in the new building. Amen. Hallelujah. So stay with us. Stay patient. We're getting there. And so he says, feed my lambs. And so a true shepherd is a feeder of God's word. So now we can see, and you'll see it more clearly here in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Because remember, we started this by me making a statement on Wednesday that hearing the word of God is the most important thing in your life. You might not know that, but that's what I'm here to tell you. Praise God. I'm here to reveal that to you. Why? Because not because I want to make your life hard. I want to make your life blessed. I want to see you get to where God has for you, and you can't get there without doing it God's way. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, I think, number one, it's amazing that the first thing Jesus did when he went up to heaven was he gave the church gifts. That first gift that he would give people would be an indicator of his love and how important it was, right? To leave the church with something. Well, what did he leave? Verse 11 tells us. And he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What are those five categories that I mentioned? They're ministers of the gospel. True ones, the first characteristic of every one of those offices of a prophet, an apostle, a pastor, evangelist, and teacher, the first characteristic is they are all, you'll see this biblically if you looked at each office, preachers and teachers of God's word. Number one, they're preachers and teachers of God's word. And then different equipment and different things come with each office. But number one, they're preachers and teachers of God's word. So God says, the first thing I want you to do, Jesus, when you go to heaven is send the gifts to people. What are the gifts he sends to people? Other people. Like I said earlier, how does God do things in the earth? Through God-filled men or women sent to people to deliver things. Now we're going to start to kind of getting closer to how we can prove that point of what I said in the beginning. It's the most important thing. Ministers, God-sent ministers, their job is to feed the lambs, feed the sheep. which is the Word of God. So if that's the case, if God said, I'm going to give people, and if people don't have, and what's interesting to point out, I'm getting to where I need to go here, but let me point this out. Notice he said apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but the only thing that he mentioned in Matthew chapter 9 was a pastor. These other gifts are vital in your life, but not like a shepherd is.
Amen.
A shepherd is amongst the sheep, in the flock, helping families, helping children, teaching, counseling, guiding people what to do, helping people, giving people advice, different things like that. So the shepherd, Jesus pointed out in Matthew 9, he didn't say, I have compassion on them because they don't have an apostle.
Right.
He didn't say, I have compassion on them because they don't have a prophet. Let me just say this out loud real quick to help people. If you're here and you don't have a shepherd, you have hit the jackpot of being here at the right time in the right place.
Amen.
Because God's trying to help you.
Yeah.
And if you're here and you don't do the right things with your shepherd, God's trying to help you. Because it doesn't matter if you have a shepherd if you're not there for the feeding.
Right.
Many sheep go on hunger strikes.
Yeah.
Many sheep go on hunger strikes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's true. It's true. Hallelujah. Just trying to help you. So he says, I gave you these gifts. Now here's what I want you to see. If God is saying, and let's go on to verse 12, we'll help clear it up. He gave these gifts, why? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, what is the main job of a shepherd to do? Jesus told Peter, what is it? Feed my sheep. Well, feed them what? The Word of God.
Amen.
So the main thing that God is doing through a shepherd is instructing people to feed other people, which will in turn lead to the perfecting of the saints. So you could say it this way. Your life cannot be fully perfected or get to, like I said, remember I said earlier in the message that God has so much for you. You won't get the money you need without a shepherd. You won't get the favor you need. You won't get the blessing. Your family won't walk into it until they have a shepherd. Why? Because a shepherd's job is to feed the sheep. Now, when I said earlier that the visitation is a God-filled man or woman, how God does things in the Word. See, when you take the mentality or the attitude that I'll just stay at home, I got my Bible and I got my Jesus. If you really have your Bible and you have your Jesus, you know what I find? The most people that say that, they don't touch this book.
Right.
They're really not in it at home, because if they were, you know what it would tell them? Go to church.
Yes.
Get a shepherd.
Amen.
If you were really you and Jesus at home, you know what he'd say to you? He wouldn't say anything different than he told the people that didn't have a shepherd. He'd say, I pity you.
Yeah.
He's not going to violate his Word. He already said it in his Word.
Yeah.
He would say what his Word says. So if you're really one of these people, and I don't believe we have any of those people here, but I've just heard it over and over again. Well, I don't need to go to church and God knows my heart and blah, 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 blah. Okay, keep living outside the Word of God. If you really are feeling that way and saying that, and you're really in tune with God and what he's saying, he's going to speak his Word to you. And his Word's going to say, get a pastor, get a pastor. Go to church, hear the Word, you're not being fed. So my point is this, God's desire is abundant life for you. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, heaven on earth is God's desire for you. Reigning in life as a king is God's desire for you on earth. That's what the Bible says. All your needs being met is God's desire for you. Your sickness is being healed is God's desire for you. Well, guess what? How he's going to lead you into that is through how he does it biblically, by speaking to somebody that's anointed in your life to deliver the message that's going to take you from A to B.
Hallelujah.
From broke to rich, from sick to health, from defeated to victory.
Yeah. Praise
God. So you can claim, I want abundant life, I want days of heaven on the earth, I want to reign as a king in life, but until you understand how God's going to get you there, until you submit to that faithfully, it will be something that will elude you.
That's right. That's good.
And let me just correct all the skeptics' minds out there, the devil. He's just saying that, so I'll come to his church. I didn't say it was my church. I gave you guidelines of what a true pastor is. A feeder of the Word of God. Somebody that will tell you the Bible. Somebody that follows the Holy Spirit. Somebody that really is shepherding the flock. Praise God. Didn't say it had to be here. In fact, I'll tell you what the Bible says about where you should go. Let me tell you this. You don't have a right biblically to just choose and pick your own church. You don't. You want to. The Bible says that God sets the members. God picks you up and sets you down as it pleases him. Oh, pastor, you're full of it. No, I'm full of the Word. You're right. I'm full of something. It's the Bible. How will you know? You'll know when you're there.
Yeah.
Your spirit's being fed. Home cooking is familiar. Isn't it? Nobody makes a meatloaf like my mother. I'm sorry. I've had good ones otherwhere, but not like my mom's. I'm just telling you like it is. Certain people, you know, it's great. No, it's not like mom's. I know what home cooking's like. When you're in a place where it's home for you, your spirit will be so thrilled. It's getting fed for the first time. Let me tell you this. Churches are not based on the best worship teams.
That's right.
Nope. Jesus did fine without music.
That's right.
Didn't have a traveling band with him. Well, if he did, they'd never said a thing about it. It wasn't important enough to put in there.
Yeah.
Now, music has its place.
Sure.
Oh, you don't know how many people tell me, I go to your church, but, you know, the music's just not as good. Oh, my God. Yeah, but the word. But the word. Well, I just can't leave my church. The praise and worship teams. Oh, I didn't know the praise and worship team was going to heal you when you were sick. I didn't know the music and the songs are what gets you delivered. No, the Bible says the word is health to all their flesh. Oh, yeah. I've had people say, yeah, the word's a little weak. And we'll have seven songs in one scripture. That's what I've heard. We'll have seven songs in one scripture, but I can't leave the songs. I can't leave the music. You don't choose the best church just because the social for the kids programs and they have all sorts of things that fit your needs. No, you choose the church that you're getting fed at. It's life or death, people.
Amen.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Praise God. We can't have what the word says is going to happen to us. We can't trump. Our disobedience can't trump Matthew 9 that says if you don't have a shepherd, distressed, harassed, dejected. People wonder, why is my life not working? Submit to the word.
Yeah.
Submit to the word of God. Why is things always like this? Well, it's kind of like this. I had a situation, nobody in here, that told me one time, they said, Pastor, I'm going through this. I said, you know what? For 5 weeks, I preached on exactly what you were going through. God sent you your help through your shepherd, and you chose not to be here. Amen. I told you, if you're going to come to this church, you might as well get ready to hear the Bible. You might as well have somebody that's going to push you towards the center of God's will. I'm not going to fluff it. I don't know if you know or not, but fluff's not good for you. Sugary, rot your teeth, raise your sugar levels. It just not puts a little pounds on you, right? Fluff's not good. It tastes good. Fluff tastes good, but it's not good for you. I'm going to tell people the truth. What would you rather hear? The Bible says this is how God does things on the earth. My life didn't change. I went to church my whole life, and my life looked like hell on earth. My life didn't change until I got under a shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so thankful for my shepherd. Praise God for my shepherd.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's people in here right now I could call up. I won't. Don't worry about it. I won't embarrass you. But they call up here and testify about this, that they've submitted to this, and life got different. And things in their life, absolutely, people were spared and saved and helped just because of a shepherd. Not because of me.
Right.
See, Paul said this in Romans. He said, I magnify my office. We don't magnify the man.
Right.
You all know me before Jesus.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a thing to help you. But the office that God has put in your life, the gift that God has put in your life, well, what are you going to do with this gift? Praise God. And so next week, because we're going to close right here, next week we're going to see and prove further why the Bible says the most important thing in your life is hearing the Word of God. So now you know how God does things. He does it through a person, through a shepherd. Well, where's the shepherd at? Here, every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, your shepherd's right here, delivering messages from heaven. That's my point, and why we start to see that. We have belittled and dumbed down what this is on a Sunday and a Wednesday night. Well, it's just what we do. No. According to the Word, this is where you hear for your life. This is where God speaks to you specifically about what you're going through. You say, I don't need that. I'll just do that. God will speak to me outside of here. And He will. If you're faithful to come here, God will speak to you about other things. But if you're not faithful to a shepherd, you know what He's going to tell you? Get a shepherd. Get a shepherd. Get a shepherd. I can't take you further than a shepherd. Why would you think God can bless you above His word? He's not a liar.
Right?
Praise God. So you got to find out, where is God speaking to me? Where is God? Where is my spirit getting fed? And I'm hearing the word like never before. Wherever that is, you plant yourself and you get faithful. And then next week, I'm going to help you with how your life has to clear out for this, if you want. Now again, this is all conditional. You don't have to. You'll go to heaven without a shepherd. Yeah. You can live life and not be faithful to church. Absolutely. But I'm saying for those people that want to be perfected, those people that want to get the most out of God, Those people that want to get the most money they're supposed to have in this life, the most health, the most blessings for their children, the most favor, those people that want that, you have to submit to this revelation. You have to do it God's way. Again, God will still love you. Don't misunderstand me and say, Pastor Zed, if I don't have a shepherd, God won't love me. No, God loves you. He loves us when we're disobedient. I love my kids when they're disobedient, but it's hurting their life. When they're disobedient, it's when I can't bless them as much as I want to. So God still loves you. You're still beloved and you're still heaven-bound. But why live down here with less than what we can have? God is trying to take us somewhere. Praise God. And when you realize how He does it, and even more next week, all the stupid petty things that keep us out, the little offenses that we have, the things we have wrong with someone else. Listen, when you get that revelation, you say, nothing is going to stop me from my visitation with God. Nothing. Let me tell you, nothing's going to stop me. My visitation with God. Amen. And I'm not against vacations. And I'm not against emergencies. I've been there. I'm talking about that attitude. Take it or leave it. Put other things in front of God. Amen. So let's not let the devil twist this. So next week, we're going to see why that statement, now that we know how God does things, next week we're going to see it in the Word. And it's going to make us have a choice in our life. What are we going to do? Are we going to clutter our lives to the point where this becomes optional? Or is this going to be the centerpiece and then everything else? I'll tell you, everything else will be affected if you'll make this the centerpiece. Affected good, I should say. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful. Lord, you love us. You love us so much, Father. I don't claim to be the best pastor in the world. My gosh, I'm not even close to being the millionth best pastor in the world. But Father, I know what the truth of the Word says. And so, Father, I'm not claiming people need to come to family church or come to my church, but they do need to obey this, Father. There is so much for them by having a shepherd, by getting their mail from you, Father. If there was another way to hear from heaven, the main way we hear from heaven is through our shepherd. It's the main way. And then outside of here, we can hear from you because we're being obedient to that. If we're disobedient to that, what we're going to hear out of here is get obedient and be faithful. So, Father, I pray that everybody would get a revelation and a knowledge of how vital this is, how important this is to their life and to their family, to their finances, to their bodies, to their jobs, to their favor, to their protection, to so much is attached to this, Father. So, Lord, I thank you. I pray that every single person here would return next week, Father, and see the truth of the Word, that we wouldn't run from these things, but we'd embrace the Word. The Word's never meant to hurt us or to put us in a bad position, and so, Father, we thank you so much for the Word this morning, for what we received. And if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. You know, once you get saved, a shepherd's a great thing to lead you into what God has for you. But the best thing that ever happened was by the great shepherd, which is Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. And he died on the cross for your sins. Now, I don't know everybody's background with church. And I don't know who's listening to this by live stream. But the Bible says you can lay down your head tonight in your pillow and not fear death. You can lay down and know that you're going to heaven. You know, I tell you, it's a freedom knowing I'm going to heaven. In fact, I don't fear death. I don't dread death. That's my great reward. That's my homecoming. That's my home going. I don't want to go there yet. There's too much to do, but I don't fear it for when the day comes. And the Bible says it was easy to go to heaven. In fact, he said, well, if you want to go to heaven, there's just a few qualifications. It's not church attendance. It's not giving money. It's not having your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. No, the Bible says to be qualified or a candidate for heaven, you need to believe that Jesus was and that he died and rose again. That's it. The Bible says if you believe that, you're now qualified. And now he says there's only one thing left to do, which is to ask him into your heart or confess that with your mouth. And so if you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm here to tell you that it's simple. Doesn't matter what you've done with church, money, or how good or bad you've been. I won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. You won't stand up. You won't have to come to the front. You won't have to say anything on your own. But if you're here and you can say, boy, I thought I was saved, but not according to the Bible standards, which is believing in Jesus. You thought, man, I went to a church and I've been a good person. I thought that got me in. No, Jesus gets you in. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, with nobody looking around, would you just lift your hand in there if you've never received Jesus before? Anybody at all in here? I don't know everybody personally. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus in here this morning? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust we are all born again. But if by chance somebody in here or listening now or in the future via live stream, an archive or something like that, if they've not received Jesus, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they've made you their Lord. I pray that they would realize how simple it is and that they would just cry out to you in a moment of belief and say, Lord, I believe in you. Come into my heart. Father, we thank you for the revelation that we received today. Thank you for where you want to take us, Father. We're trying to grow and trying to go to where you would have us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30, your visitation from God. His help will be there for you. You're dismissed.